This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I am interviewing Guy Selga, who is living his dream through a career change. Welcome to the show, Guy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The pleasure's all mine. I'm so glad that we were able to connect from coast to coast here.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. It's actually been a while since we've heard each other's voices.
It has. It's probably been almost a year.
Yeah,
except definitely. For that, I think that one time, I don't even know if you were on for that last time we got together, but let's start by giving the audience some background about yourself.
Well, I currently work for touringplans.com, helping people plan their Disney vacations. But before that, I worked in the quality assurance industry for about 9 years. I started at Activision when I was 19 years old, actually. It was my second job. I worked at Blockbuster Video for a year before that. And so I've always been to video games, so I really wanted to work in the video game industry, and I was young and dumb enough to think that that would be a viable thing that I could keep running for a while. I worked at Activision for 5 years, got burnt out by the constant overtime at that company. So I left for another smaller studio that I ended up working like three times as much overtime. So then I went back to Activision after a year and stayed there for another couple years. And then at the end of that, I was fully burnt out of the video game industry. And I said, okay, this time I'm done for real. And so a recruiter actually contacted me to work at DirecTV. And I worked in their quality assurance department for about 2 years. And then I realized that I was completely done with quality assurance at some point. And then the position opened up at touringplans.com, a service that I had used previously several times to plan my Disney World vacations. I live in California. So yeah, I just applied thinking, hey, I might as well apply. This is completely different. The pay is less, but I can make it work. But I just need a complete change of pace anyway, so I'm just going to try it out.
What kind of games did you get to test at Activision?
When I started, it was still the Tony Hawk era. So I worked on several Tony Hawk video games, the skateboarding games. I think I worked on maybe 5 or 6 of those. And then the era of like Guitar Hero came in. So I think I worked on Guitar Hero 3 for over a year straight, just on that game only. And then mixed into that were several Call of Duties and a bunch of those DreamWorks kids games like Over the Hedge and stuff like that.
What exactly got you fed up with the quality assurance industry?
Well, in the game industry especially, the overtime is constant. For most of the length of the game development, you're going to be working overtime. So, you know, working 6 or 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, gets really tiring. The last game I ever worked on actually was Call of Duty Black Ops. And for the last 6 months, we worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. And I worked on night shift, so I worked 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. every day. So that was really killing me. And by the time it was done, I never wanted to see another Call of Duty game again, and I never wanted to test games again. And so far, so good. That was 2010, and so it's 2014 now. So I don't know. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that was that long ago. I mean, the last one I played was Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
So what would you say inspires you?
Okay, so what inspires me now is different than what inspired me before. So with this current job, like it's kind of all on me. Yeah, like I have a boss and I have coworkers and everything that I have to answer to, but I'm out here in California. I'm the only employee in California. So whatever work I need to do, it's on me. So basically money inspires me to be honest with you. But just to set myself up for the future to try to make this work long term, because like, yeah, it's kind of a fun, silly little job it started out as. But like, I want to build it into something more and something meaningful that I can actually work a long time on and, you know, retire someday. Because, you know, in the game industry, in the position I was in, you know, I worked with over 1500 employees like throughout my career. They would just come and go so much. So the fact that I even lasted as long as I did is unusual. And, you know, I think the typical time, the length of time people spend in the game industry is 5 years. So I even beat that. But there's not a lot of areas to grow into. So what inspires me now is to try to make something of a passion, which is Disney and Disney parks and anything Disney related.
Well, everybody that listens to this show knows my passion for Disney. That's how we met, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So how did your dream come about?
Well, like I said, I was kind of fed up with my previous career, and I had this opportunity to kind of start over, and which it maybe isn't the smartest thing, because when you, you know, when you have 9 years in a certain field, it's probably not smart to just throw it all away and go try something completely different. But, you know, I figured, like, I think I was 28 when I switched careers. So I figured, you know, I was still young enough to do it, and I could always probably go back somewhere in the game industry if I needed to.
Well, that is a good safety net to be able to go back to where you came from if you had to. But I'm sure you didn't want to, the way you're talking about it.
Yeah, I don't want to. I want to make this work. And, you know, like I said, it's a passion. And what we do at Touring Plans, helping people plan their vacations and get the most out of their vacations and get the biggest bang for their buck, is really rewarding. And we get a lot of mail coming back to us saying how much we helped them. And that's a really, like, it's a really fulfilling thing to hear. Because, you know, like, I think everyone's early Disney vacations were probably not the best. You know, you maybe argued with your family or didn't get to do what you wanted to do. So, or maybe you blew your money on some crappy food that you didn't like, or some experience or something. So just to make sure that people don't make those same mistakes is pretty cool.
Before we move on to the next question, where did your Disney passion come from?
So my grandma and my mom, I was raised by my grandma, but my grandma and my mom were both really into the parks when I was growing up and when they were growing up. So when I think I was 3 years old, my mom took me for the first time. And I remember even though I was still very young, like I could tell I was hooked for life. Like just something about the parks, just they were so endearing and like enchanting to me. And like not even really the rides, just like the architecture, just real, real nerdy stuff. Yeah, and then just growing up where my mom and my grandma felt the same way about the parks that I did, they just passed that passion down to me. So yeah, and my mom would take me every week. And you know, it's like most parents, they just take their kids to Disneyland or whatever because they feel like they have to because it's a kid thing. But like I think my mom went because she wanted to go. And it was like, okay, I guess I'll take my kid along. So yeah, I've been going quite a long time and loving it. And that's, yeah, thanks mom and thanks grandma.
So how was your dream received by your family when you told them, hey, I'm quitting my whole career and I'm going to go do this thing where I walk around Disneyland all day, every day, take notes and send it back to some guy out on the East Coast that lives in North Carolina?
So, okay, I guess I'll start off with my mom, because she really didn't understand what I did at my old job anyway. I mean, she knew I tested games and she kind of got the basic idea, but you know, it's not a normal career, even testing games and testing satellite boxes like I did for a little bit. So she was kind of weird at first about it, but then I explained what it was and what the service did and how I had used it before. And she kind of warmed up to it, and she knew it was, and once I told her like, oh, well, I can really put my passion to work and make some money out of it, I think she quickly turned around to kind of see that it was a good thing. Spouses are just always like, whatever makes you happy, dear. And that's kind of what my wife was like. I could see she was a little worried because the money wasn't quite the same, but you know, I kind of told her that eventually we could make it work, and yeah, we'd have to change some things, but it wouldn't be too bad. And plus, I would be happier doing this instead. And so she was fine with it.
Well, you can't put a price on happiness.
Yeah, well, that too, and like working from home is amazing, which is what I do. I don't have an office to go to. I mean, I guess Disneyland is my office, but my base of operations is my house, and that is like. I don't know. I hear some people talk about how working from home isn't all that great, but that's not true. That it is awesome.
Well, that's something I've been finding out.
Yeah.
So what steps did you take to get started?
Well, so how long was it? Maybe like a year or two before I even knew that the Touring Plans position would open. I started my personal Disney blog, angryap.com, where I just kind of posted, I call it a Disney nostalgia blog. So I would just post old scans of pictures and just little Disney trinkets that I had from over the years and, you know, old Disney items that my grandma had passed down to me. So I started that blog, and then I switched my Twitter over from just kind of whatever thoughts I had to only Disney. So I was like, I made a point to make to tweet only about Disney. So I was kind of just building that kind of personal brand on Twitter. And then when the Touring Plans thing rolled around, they asked for like writing samples and just a general resume. And so I sent in my resume, and then for my writing sample, I just kind of said, go to my blog and check it out. And because my Twitter had switched over to Disney, I had gotten to know Scarlett, who worked for Touring Plans at the time as the East Coast researcher for Walt Disney World. And so we had became friends. And so when the position opened, I remember when they tweeted about it, I kind of halfway jokingly responded with the tweet, and I said, I want this. And I remember Scarlett like messaged me, and she was like, are you serious? Because we can like get this ball rolling. And I was like, yeah, let's see where this goes. And so yeah, I sent in my resume, and I did an interview, and it came down to be me and a couple other people, and I got it, and I became the full-time Disneyland researcher. Before that, they didn't have anyone as a full-time researcher for Disneyland. They just had a couple of part-timers, but even then, I don't think they had been around for a while. But I think they decided to fully commit to Disneyland and grow that product. And I think so far we've grown it by quite a bit since I've started. So I'm pretty happy about that. I think it's gotten better. Not to toot my own horn, I think it's gotten better though since I've joined on.
You know, I don't quite remember who said it, but it's not bragging if it's the truth. one of those boxers, I think, said it.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward a little bit to when you started going to the parks. What steps did you take to get started and changing your whole career path and your life, basically?
Well, the first thing I had to do was, like, I'm not a strong writer, which is kind of funny considering I write mostly, is what I do for my job now. Like, I write for the book, and I write for our blog, and I write our little our reviews, our sections for our website. So I had to kind of change the way I was writing things. Like I had to kind of match the tone that Touring Plans has. It has kind of a very specific tone that I try to match, but I still try to have my own personality in it. So I had to change that, because before I was just kind of like really goofy and sarcastic in my own personal writing. And then I had to change the way I toured the parks. Because before I started for Touring Plans, I never went solo to the parks at all. But then for work, I had to go completely solo. And yeah, and so what I do in the parks, I enter wait times, and I do whatever the stats team needs me to do. Whether that's, you know, riding something over and over, or making loops in a certain land, or counting how many people walk through a walkway at a time. So I just had to learn all the little tricks that we do to get the numbers that we predict on our site for the crowd pattern, for the wait times and the crowd numbers.
Starting when you first decided to contact Touring Plans, what roadblocks did you hit making that transition? Because I mean, to me, I think it's great that you took the initiative to just throw it out there, even half jokingly, and just make it happen. As far as, I'm just going to say, hey, I want this. And you got the ball rolling, and here you are. How many years have you been doing it now?
It'll be 2 years. Oh yeah. It's 2 years this month. So yeah.
Oh, congratulations. Oh,
it's June. Yeah. Thanks. Really the main roadblock, it was actually pretty easy switching, surprisingly. The main roadblock was really fitting into a team of people that had been so established already for so many years. And I guess that's true for any business you get in. But yeah, the company is very small. I think there's 12 of us or something. Everyone had been working together for quite a while. So just to kind of get in and, you know, find my own little groove, and just to try not to look like a fool, basically, to everyone else, you know. And, you know, also just being on your own, even though, like I said, I have a boss that I have to answer to, you know, being on my own is quite different after, you know, having layers and layers of middle managers to answer to in the game industry and in the other jobs I work to. And just managing my own time was very different also, because when I worked at Activision, it was very structured. Like, you went to break at a certain time and you took lunch at a certain time. But with this, I just have to I'm on my own and I have to just get everything done.
How did you overcome those?
Well, the team is very helpful, and eventually you just kind of, I think with like any job, eventually you just start to feel more comfortable and you start to speak up more and give your ideas and just hope for the best. But it's just keeping on it, because I think, like, back when I worked in the game industry, we'd see a lot of new guys come in and they would just get so intimidated by everyone. And so that's what I kept thinking back to, just like being a new guy and not being intimidated by all these strong personalities.
So working in Disneyland every day, you got to have at least a couple funny stories, funny things that you see happen in the parks.
Yeah, nothing. I can't think of anything specific, but I just see a lot of funny interactions with kids and their parents, a big thing I see is I get to the park early a lot within the first couple hours of the day, and I'll see families standing in the middle of the walkway and they're arguing with each other and screaming at each other. And it's like, dude, you're an hour into this. You have like 12 hours left. You need to get it together, pull off to the side, and just like press reset. You know, I see like a lot of cool little things that I missed when I was just a normal visitor. For example, the Dapper Dans riding around on their four-person bicycle, which I think is like the coolest thing. Like, I never saw that before I started working for Touring Plans, and it's so random. I think they do it once a week, they told me. Stuff like that. You know, I will say one funny thing I saw in Epcot when I was there one time, even though I'm a Disneyland guy a vast majority of the time. I was there at Epcot one time, and I saw this little kid walking with his family. And the little kid is like, "Mom, where are we going?" And the mom said, "We're going to go see the countries," because she was talking about World Showcase. That's where they were headed. And the little kid's like, "I don't want to see no countries." And he was like so pissed off that he had to go see these boring countries. And I was like, I would love to go see World Showcase.
So if you were stranded on a deserted island with your family, what three things would you want to have with you?
Oh, man, I would need Twitter. Is that possible? Is that too vague of an answer?
No, I mean, most people say cell phones with perpetual batteries.
Yeah, I don't even care about having. I guess that would be necessary for Twitter, but Twitter is my big thing. I'm addicted to Twitter, 100%. I'm on it all day. I'm unashamed at how much I love Twitter. So I guess really a cell phone, because I want a cell phone, I want Twitter, and I want YouTube, because I watch a ton of YouTube. I make a ton of videos for YouTube. So, yeah, Twitter, YouTube, cell phone.
So what do your dreams for the future look like?
I'm hoping to maybe get my own kind of website or book going. I kind of started that with my personal blog, angryap.com, and my YouTube channel, because we have a Touring Plans YouTube channel that I put a lot of videos up of Disneyland and Disney World and all that, and that's been going pretty well. But I'm hoping in the future that I can have it's probably unrealistic, but this is a dream, right? It's funny, my dream growing up was to own an arcade. I love arcade games. I own several, and so yeah, that was my dream growing up, was to own an arcade. Unfortunately, that is not a realistic dream anymore, because arcades aren't exactly a thing. there's a couple. So maybe having my own website and YouTube channel that I live off of is not a realistic dream either, because of the complete saturation. And who knows, the way online advertising is, that might not be a sustainable thing either in the future. But yeah, that's my dream, is to be my own thing.
Well, it's not that hard to believe. I mean, plenty of people do it every single day, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, you already showed that you have the drive to, or stupidity, depending who you ask, to jump out of one industry that you've done for 7 years, where at that point, you're probably only a couple years away from being, a master of what you do. Being considered a master. I mean, in your own mind, you probably were really good at what you did, but I'm saying in the industry wise, 10 to 15 years, I mean, that's like mastering it.
Yeah. And people ask me all the time if I ever get sick of Disneyland, and I looked yesterday, actually, On the Disneyland annual pass holder website, it has the counter for how many times you've visited. And my counter is at 909. So I have visited 909 times sent on my current annual pass, which was from 2008. So I started in Touring Plans in 2012. So before that, I would visit maybe once a week. But yeah, when I'm in the parks, it's just like, it's all business to me. Like, I don't even see it as a thing of enjoyment. But when I go with friends or my wife, then I see it as a place of enjoyment where I can relax, unwind, eat a crazy amount of food, and ride a couple rides, you know, go up and down Main Street on the omnibus, all the things that I like to do that I can't exactly do during work.
It's great that you're able to separate the two of them.
Yeah, hopefully that lasts. I don't know. For now, it does. Like, even though I've been so many times, I can still separate it.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I would just say, like, if you're thinking about changing careers, you know, weigh the pluses and minuses, right? Talk it over with your spouse or significant other. See if it works out for you. I was in kind of a unique position to where I could make it work. But it's obviously not realistic for everybody. I'm not going to lie and be like, follow your dreams and you can achieve anything. Be smart about it is my advice. Like, I don't know. I like to consider myself a logical person. I weigh the pluses and minuses of everything before I do them. I don't really do anything spur of the moment. So yeah, just decide if it's actually logical if you want to change your career before you do it. But then if you do it, it's pretty rewarding.
What do they say? No risk, no reward, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So any Twitter, Facebook websites you'd like to plug? I mean, you already mentioned your angry app angry app. Your angryap.com website.
Yeah, it's my blog, my Disney blog. I guess I'll plug my YouTube page, youtube.com/gselga, and my Twitter at Guy Selga, GUYSELGA. I tweet in there all day. Most of the time I'm in the parks tweeting about, I don't know, whatever I tweet about. I think today I was talking about probably the omnibus. I tweet about the omnibus a lot. It's my favorite Disneyland attraction. Or food. I tweet a lot about food, Disney food and non-Disney food.
Now, being in the parks every day, have you found that you have gained any weight from eating all that food?
Well, so it's hard to tell because I walk so many miles a day. Like, I walk between 10 and 18 miles a day. So I think that offsets any bad food I eat. And, I don't really eat that poorly. Like, I eat a lot of salad and a lot of, I don't eat the really bad stuff. Like, I'm not slamming Monte Cristos in my face or, like, double bacon cheeseburgers are in my face every day or anything. So I try to keep it in check a little bit. But, man, it's tough because when you walk by a churro cart and you get, like, that whiff of smell, it's, like, intoxicating sometimes.
Yeah, it'd be easy to fall into that trap. Yeah. I know I would.
Yeah, luckily I don't like turkey legs, or I'd have a problem with that too, because that's all you smell on most of the parts of the park.
Well, if that was the case, I'd hope that you'd have good health insurance through Touring Plans.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Guy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd like to have you on again at some point, maybe in 6 months, a year, and follow up and see how you're making out.
Yeah, awesome.
Hopefully you didn't fall back into the trap of quality assurance at that point.
Well, I mean, if I did, I guess I could talk about the transition going back in.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's hope that you don't.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, take care.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.